Verulam Sports.
Hello again and welcome to Verulam Sports Podcasting with your host, Tony Rice. Now, long-term elephantine memory fans of Verulam Sport may remember the name, Hesa Vickery. She is, no doubt about it, one of our local superstars from a somewhat niche but elite-level sporting standard. However, it's been a while since we've had her on Verulam Sports, and indeed, this is the very first time in our podcasting form. So, it is an absolute pleasure to welcome back to Verulam Sports for the very first time in podcasting form, Hesa Vickery. Good evening, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. It's been quite a while, actually, with all the lockdown and everything, but it's good to be back.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you back, and I must say, I think it was 2018, it might have been 2019. Time flies, and I'm not very good with dates, if I'm honest with you. But the last time you were in the studio, obviously we're in a podcasting form, my own lovely little mini studio, you ended with a bit of a carol, I think, Hesa, from memory.
Oh my God. Yes, I do remember.
Yeah. Don't worry. I'm not going to ask you to break into song tonight. It's one of those things. So yes, definitely, it's been a little time. But of course, like everybody who is elite at what they do, they certainly don't rest on their laurels. And my word, you've been somewhat busy, Hesa. Before we kind of unpack that, let's first and foremost talk about a fantastic grant that you've earned from the wonderful people at the 948 Foundation. I think they provided to you and, of course, family, £750. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. It is such like an amazing opportunity, especially you've gone through all this like tough periods of lockdown and obviously being at home and things like that. And like that money obviously went straight to sporting equipment and shooting, especially because there's a lot of things like something called SCAT, which helps like massively. it really helps with shooting.
And, sorry, was that SKAT?
It's SCAT, I think.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah. Now, I'm no shooter, Hesa, and obviously you're rather good at it. I'm not going to want to get on your wrong side, I tell you what. So obviously that fantastic grant provided by the wonderful people at the 948 Foundation went to this SCAT device. Is this to do with accuracy? Can you just put me in the picture? As I say, I'm so ignorant.
So it basically helps with your shooting and watching where you are on the target, and it tells you where the shot goes, and it just helps you like be precise. And honestly, like with your training, it's just such a useful tool to be using, especially at home.
Gotcha. Now, again, I'm no shooter, and I want to talk to you a few things about technique, which fascinates me. But just to give our listeners a bit of a steer, when you're doing this competitively, as you do to an elite standard, how far away is aforementioned target?
So the target is 10 meters away, I believe, from like where you have, there's like a line at 10 meters and you stand behind that. And that is for a 10 meter air pistol, but there's also like 25 meter, like rapid fire, but I mainly do precision at 10 meters.
And that's a very important focused thing, isn't it? To be precise at what you do. And it's pistol, is that pistol form always? And this is a pentathlon specific, is it?
So for pentathlon, you do laser shooting. So depending on what age category you're in, but the last time I competed, which obviously was a little while ago because of COVID, but it would have been at 5 meters.
Gotcha.
But for, I believe, as you go on throughout the sport, it goes to 10 meters laser. So it's slightly different, but it's still both 10 meters and it's both different technique, but I guess it's also precision because you want to hit the black.
And that's the dead center, the equivalent from a darts perspective of the bullseye.
Yeah, basically. There's like a black circle and you want to hit as close as you can to the middle.
Gotcha. So. Fantastic. I tell you what, I can't even pull a trigger, Hesa. So amazing stuff. again, we will talk lockdown. It has been a challenge. And again, one of the qualities of people such as yourself, I know it applies to all of us. We've all had to be in the same boat, but it's kind of these elite sports stars that we're lucky to talk to. I think they do it in a slightly different special way, but there we go. But yeah, I wanted to ask you about the technique of shooting. Again, you're talking to a guy who's never pulled a trigger and don't think he really
can.
I think anybody could actually pull a trigger. I actually think if push-off came to shove-off, I could do that. But to do it to that level of precision and that accuracy, I guess there's the adrenaline flowing through your veins. That's the nature of competition. How do you control that? How do you control the breathing, almost samurai style?
I mean, shooting is such a surprisingly mental sport. And you have to basically create a process in your shooting of how you're going to do it. But when it actually comes to the competition, being nervous really actually doesn't help you because you're shaky, and especially because you've got to be so still and relaxed. So a lot of it is really just remaining so calm and trying to get rid of all your nerves, which is obviously it's quite hard. But like,
would you say it's almost zen, almost like you have to get into a quasi-meditative state?
Yeah, you've got to be in a really, really chilled out kind of mindset, because especially if, like, you say one shot goes wrong, if you then get caught up on it, you could ruin your entire match. So like from shooting, you know, you take the gun, and there's obviously more specific things, but you look through the sights, you raise up above your target, you breathe out, and then you look through your sights and you squeeze the trigger. In essence, it seems quite simple.
Yeah.
But when you get into it, like, there's so many little things that could just go at any moment. You've got to be so, it's very hard to stay concentrated for an hour and a half.
I mean, that's hard in anything, isn't it? You know, it's like chess. Yeah. I'm not a grandmaster, but I'm just absolutely fascinated by this because, you know, you're doing this to a rather special standard, just to put this into perspective. Earlier this very year, Haisa led all other competitors, in the British Shooting Schools pistol competition. Again, that's national. And check this out, Haisa. And I know you're a super humble person, credit to your parents. But not only did you come top there, and there has to be a winner, you were the youngest member, I think 9 selected, for the British Talent Academy, and you the very youngest. Talk to me a little bit about the process of that wonderful achievement.
So in 2019, I was offered a place on the British Development Pathway, which was obviously a massive thing for me because I'd just come from Pony Club. So there's sort of like a route you follow in British shooting, where you can like make your way up the different pathways. And I've been in development, and then obviously, you know, lockdown came, there was like lockdown leagues and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then during that, there was a selection to be on the talent pathway or the academy one. And there was only a limited amount of people going on to it, so like 9 people.
Yeah.
Had an interview with the coaches, and they look at your scores, and then based on that you either are selected or you're not. And then I was quite nervous, to be honest. I was like, you know, it's a big thing, especially as, you know, I feel like
I'd be quivering in my boots.
I was like, oh my god. But I did the interview, and then we found out, I can't quite remember how long after that, but found out were on it or not. And then it started in lockdown, and there have been like training days on Zoom, and I think there's one this weekend as well, so it's starting up again.
Hey, that's good news. And what an achievement, Haisa. And again, I do value how supremely humble you are, because like I say, my instinct, I think, and I'm just being honest here, if I made an achievement like that, I'd be quite inclined to be crowing about it. But there we go. Yes. So yeah, also, of course, I've mentioned that you have these wonderful achievements, and they are reflected internationally, representing, of course, Team GB at Pentathlete, also Tri and Biathlon as well. Can you just remind me of the events that Pentathlon consists of, and also Tri and Biathlon too, please?
So Pentathlon consists of fencing, riding, shooting, running and swimming.
And it's an Olympic event, right?
Yes, it is. But when you're younger, so you start with buys and tries, uh-huh. and they are just a couple of the sports. So buy is running and swimming, and try is shooting, swimming, and running. And then I think maybe when you're like 13 or 14, you can try doing a full pentathlon, but it doesn't really start properly until you're a bit older.
Can I just pause you for 1 second there? Because I'm just going to throw this out there, Haysa. I think I'm honoured and privileged to be talking to a soon-to-be gold medalist. I genuinely believe that at the Olympics, okay? And I'm going to really be excited to unpack a heck of a lot of other things as we go forwards. But you mentioned that, of course, at this moment in time, you are too young to get into the triathlon. Do the Brownlee brothers inspire you? Or do you think this kind of this niche path that you're already elite at is the future for you at this particular moment in time?
I mean, honestly, I think it's hard with sport to see exactly where you like to carve out a path for sure. you and see where others have gone. I mean, and I'm doing triathlon, biathlon. I mean, it's been a while since I've done it with everything that's happened. But I think with this, where I can see it going with all the academies, with all the pathways and stuff like that, there are so many people, like so many supportive coaches and stuff like that that can help you take you straight along, you know, the pathway that they show you. I think where I've seen in the future, I've sort of planned out. I mean, it never goes extremely.
Of course. You know what they say about all those best laid plans, Haysa.
Yeah. But it is inspirational to see where, you know, people have come from and where they've got to. But I guess I've just got to take it on how it's going and how it feels for me as well. While I'm competing, I'm like, you know, this is right, this is where I'm going.
Do you know what? I think you're very wise. And of course, as always, ever since I first spoke to you, you know, many moons ago now, such a wise head on such terribly young shoulders. Because I know, again, there has been a bit of a pivot. It seems that the pistol side of things where, again, you deconstructed the technique and explained it to me so wonderfully well has become something of a focus. But I know that pony riding, which you've graduated from last time we spoke, was very much your big love at the time. And I know that's still something that's very important to you. Just since it's come up, tell me a little bit about the pedigree, Lily.
So during lockdown, I said goodbye to my pony, Minnie, and we decided that, you know...
Was that a sad day? I mean, I know you loved her.
She was an absolute angel, but I guess I'm just growing a lot, and I grew out of her, and it was... I mean, I'm at such an amazing yard as well. Like, Greenacres has such amazing horses. Mm-hmm. So Lily was literally, I watched her with somebody else, and I watched her while I still had Minnie, and then me and my mom were like, oh my god. So
was it love at first sight with Lily?
Literally, she's a little bit opinionated. She's
okay, we could deal with that, we could live with that.
Yeah, she's a real personality, but you know, she actually just, she tries so hard. She's only four. She's a baby. And we bought her maybe 2 months ago.
Nice.
After trying her for a bit. And I went to my first competition with her ever. And, you know, we came back, but we got by the 19 meter. We got through it all. And then we went to our second competition and we ended up winning it. And we were
You
just
ended
like,
up winning? Oh. Hey, sir, I have this saying, right? It's a tautology, okay? I don't know if it's unique to me, but I'm going to claim it is. And I say this much all the time on Verum Sports, winners win. And that's what they do, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, come on. You're telling me about your second ever competition with a wonderful opinionated Lily, number one.
Yeah. So, I mean, with her, I went around the course and she took me around it. And, you know, you're going to have ups and downs. You've definitely been going through a bit of a rough spot with her because she is so young. She hasn't been to many competitions at all. And I'm not an amazing rider that's been everywhere.
Well,
so,
you know, you're a winner nevertheless, Hayes. I do, again, appreciate how cool you are.
And it's been, like, today, she went to a competition with a more experienced rider from our yard, and she ended up doing her first 110, and went clear. And
sorry, 110 again. As much as I'd love sports, this is slightly out of my frame of reference. So 110, what does that actually mean in context?
So with horses, you start out with 90 centimetres. So 90 centimetres is like the smallest class you can do. And then you go all the way up to 150, 160, which is, you know, very big Olympic sort of level, I would say.
I always get into show jumping when the Olympics comes round. And like everybody else, and of course I'm amplified because I'm a little bit of a broadcaster on the sporting context, I become something of an expert on everything, even gymnastics. I think I know my onions at the Olympic stage, but there we go. So 110, and then the Olympic height is around about the 150, 160. Is that correct?
I believe so. I think it's just above 150 or maybe more. But for her, she's never done a 110 before, and she's, again, very young.
Yeah.
So it's been very good to see her doing well at that. And she's also qualified to the second rounds for British Novice, which is the 90, and she's qualified to second rounds for the meter.
Oh, sorry to cut you short there. Just want to get back to today. Where did you guys place, you and Lily?
Which show?
Oh, I don't know. The one that you were telling me about, the very first 110.
The first 110, I've personally never done. She did her first 110.
I see.
With me, we've done a meter. We're getting there.
Hey, listen, that's fantastic. And thank you for making that very clear. Awesome stuff. Because, of course, you know, it's great that your horse is, I think, in some kind of simpatico with you, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Good. Just another thing, though. Just want to move things forward. And I'm delighted because I know you loved your pony. And it's great to see that you're naturally growing and developing. And Lily seems to be going great guns, too. But one of the other things that you exemplify in terms of the qualities that I've learned about through discoursing with, I don't know, the likes of Daley Thompson, Sally Gunnell, and a whole array of others, is that it ain't an easy ride, the path to toppest of the top levels. It ain't. Anybody who thinks it is go back to bed now because you give up, you are not going to make it. I'm sorry, that's a fact. It is tough to be the best. Now, Haysa, one of the things that therefore you need is resiliency. And to illustrate that, take me back to 2019 where you broke your arm horse riding, and despite that setback, encapsulated resiliency personified after just a mere, well, no training for 8 weeks, literally in a cast. He couldn't do anything. You then represented Team GB at the pentathlon in the European Cup out in, I think, Madeira. And you managed to claim an individual medal and were instrumental in Team GB bagging a gold. Tell me a little bit more about that tale out in Madeira.
After breaking my arm, that was an interesting experience. I'd never broken anything before, so no training. And then we were like, I managed to qualify to the Euros.
Yeah.
And Gary, so we flew out there to Madeira. Is lovely.
I've never been. Just quickly though, obviously this is a bit of an unforeseen event. Certainly not part of anybody's master plan. And you know, you've got the broken arm. Are the coaches concerned? Are they saying, Haysa, look, are you going to be ready?
Yeah, well, the coach, I think everyone was sort of like, you've broken your arm. I went swimming training with a massive like rubber thing over my cast and had to do kick basically the entire time, which was great.
I shouldn't laugh there, but that did make me smile.
And I was part of the school athletics team and I had to do 1500 meters every week with a cast on, which was also interesting. But I still did a little bit of training with it, but
But you're limited, aren't you? I mean, your arm's in a cast, you know what I'm saying?
I couldn't swim. I had a massive cast on if I did any running. So, and I couldn't practice any transitions or nothing. And then Madeira rolled around and we came out there and somehow we managed to pick out, I managed to pick out a bronze medal individually.
Congratulations.
Yes, a team gold as well, which was.
And how many people were comprising that team?
So a team medal would be three people. So it's the first three from your country to cross the line, which
fantastic.
Is quite
compelling. Hey, yeah. Just in case people are future gazing, and I'm very confident indeed to assert once again that Hisa Vickery, you're listening to future Olympic medalist, and I'm going to say gold. Why the devil not? Can you name drop us those other two members of that Team GB team, if you could?
I believe in Madeira, it was me, part of the Troy team.
Do you know what? Names aren't that important. I was just curious. That's a genuine interest.
I know my teammates, but to remember the other two exactly, because I don't want to say the wrong person.
Yeah, no, listen, that's it. Perfect. Absolutely. Because, you know, like I say, if I called you a Rasa, then it's a bit silly, isn't it? I totally get that. You know what I mean? Anyway, well, what a globetrotter you are as well, Hayesa. I think it is tremendous. Tell me a little bit about your experiences out in the States in 2019, where once again, you were part of a fantastic GB gold medaling team.
USA was a very interesting experience, to say the least.
Before you regale me with this tale, can you just focus in so we're dead clear? Because America's so vast, 52 states, it could even be Hawaii. Whereabouts were you in America for this event?
I started off, when I flew out there, I went to Key West, but we ended up doing the actual competition. It was on a port. My first competition in America was in Florida.
Okay.
The next one wasn't in Florida. It was out in...
Was it another hot state, or was it a bit more northerly?
Was about an hour or two away from Key West, actually.
Oh, okay.
Right by the sea. I can't remember the name of it.
No, honestly, you're still there. You're still down in the, not the deep south of the States, but certainly in the very hot climate.
Yeah. It wasn't your usual state. It wasn't something I'd really heard of before, to be honest.
Okay. Anyway, you mentioned this was quite an interesting one. Do please go on.
Yes, this was a very interesting USA experience because I came out to the competition and I have something called hives, which is it's like an allergic reaction basically, and you get like swelling and things like that.
Oh, goodness me.
But I hadn't had an allergic reaction because I'd been there a week before down in Key West. And then when we came, the night or two before my first competition, my first try, which was individual, I ended up breaking out in hives. So for the entire competition, I had swollen joints and red patches. And yeah, that was lovely.
Well, what is it about you, Hayesa? I remember when you were out in, I think it was... I don't know where it was, but you were telling me a story about how you were swimming once upon a time, again at an international level, and those pesky Egyptians kept slightly being nefarious with the rule book.
Yes, I remember that. I remember I had to swim on top of people.
So you break out in hives. You're in somewhere near Florida, and this big event is on the before us. What happens next?
So I did the individual try while I had all of this going on. And then I ended up in the USA getting two team golds, which is pretty interesting.
Can I just ask you a super quick question? Because I also appreciate how wonderfully supportive your family have been to you over the years. And obviously, you know, these obviously don't come for free and what have you. But how is your personal shelf putting up skills? Because, you know, your poor old man must be having to rebuild some kind of new shed or something for all these great medals you're gaining.
Oh, yes. We have a cabinet downstairs that is slowly, it looks like it's about to topple over.
Goodness me, bulging.
Yeah, it's kind of been there since maybe 2016 or something when I first started competing. And I've got rosettes all in my room as well. It's where I keep all my horse stuff. So, yeah, that's my little
cabinet. Well, there you go. And again, you don't get these for nothing. You've earned them all. And coming back, though, to that, event out there in the States, two Team GB golds. I just want to state that again. Two Team GB golds. What an accomplishment, Hayesa.
It's just been, it's been amazing, to be honest. I really enjoyed that experience. Nice. I mean, although I had a lovely outbreak, I ended up having, I remember doing the biathlon,
right?
And I was, there was two people in front of me from our team, and uh-huh. then there were like six other GB behind me, or something around that number. And all I could hear on the last run back to the finish line was, I could hear loads of dads screaming and mums, and there were two GB girls right behind me. And I literally, okay. because obviously I was extremely exhausted from my hives, and I was like, oh my god, I have literally 100 meters left, I've just got to run this last bit. Mm-hmm. But they were right on my tail, and I was like, they're gonna overtake me, they're gonna, I'm not gonna make the team. So like literally I felt like I was like,
you just found that inner fortitude, didn't you, right there?
Yeah, I remembered where it was now. It was in St. Petersburg.
Oh, I tell you what, you know what? I actually think I've got family out that neck of the woods, but there we go.
Yeah, I got to the last finish. I could see the finish line, and I was like, if I don't come now, if I don't beat the rest of the GB girls, I'm not going to be in the team. So I just.
There was no choice but to just do it, right?
There was no choice but to stay where I was and die on the finish line.
Absolutely amazing. I love that, because it's fascinating to hear these things, and I'm honored to be in your company. But to actually do it for realsies, Hayesa, yeah. is in a completely different kettle of fish, to which I am, as it were, literally raising me little glass of Highland spring water to you, my dear. So thank you for being with me. And you're still going to be with me just for a few moments more, because it just doesn't end. Hayesa, let me ask you this question. Seriously, is there any end, any limitations to your abilities?
I mean, the one thing I've actually found that I'm not amazing at is ball sports. Anything involving like hand-eye coordination, like tennis.
Okay. Or, like, so netball, not your thing?
No, like lacrosse, hockey, they don't do really. They just don't appeal to me, even throwing balls. Like, I'm not very good at shot put, so that is something that, you know, I am not gifted at all.
Well, there we go. But hey, you're very special indeed, and I'm sure you're super aware of that. But ain't nobody perfect, Hayesa. I would not lose any sleep over it. I'm sure you don't, actually. There we go. But one thing I am fascinated to learn just a little bit about before I let you go tonight is this little, I guess you could call it project, which I think I would call pioneering, at your St. Albans High School for Girls, and your involvement with robotics there. Tell me more.
This was extremely interesting to me, to be honest, because I've been doing it now for maybe like 3 or 4 weeks. And I'd never heard about it before. I didn't know what Robot Wars were or Battle.
You never watched Robot Wars? I'm going to show my age now, and I'm a bit of a geeky side, but I used to love that. Craig Charles was a mega host, and it was just, I couldn't build these things. I could barely put up a shelf myself, Hayesa. So credit to your wonderful scenario. But yeah, I used to love all that kind of geeky stuff, but there we go.
I didn't know what it was, and I've been doing product design now for maybe 3 years, and I'm planning on doing the GCSE. So a group of us, I think maybe about six of us at the start, like 5 or 6 of us, were selected to take part in this team. And we went for the first week, and then our teacher basically, who's like helping us build, create and go to these competitions, explained what it was, and I was like, wow, it's actually, you know, this is quite interesting.
Absolutely. It's a competition. I guess, listen, as you know, Hayesa, I'm a massive, massive fan of sport, right? And the definition of sport is that there's a series of rules to which everybody has an understanding, and then you compete based on those rules, right? So, ergo, this is eminently a sport. And so, obviously, I guess the competitor in you is kind of all in.
Yep, it's very, because I've heard about all the competitions across England, and then if you do well, you get to go to the USA. Like, that's like, wow, that's very...
And opportunities perhaps far east as well. I mean, literally, the robotic world is your oyster.
And it's not even impossible either, because there are competitions, as long as you have your robot built, which obviously is not built, but it's in the making.
So talk to me about this, because again, you're talking to a man who is fascinated by processes, right? So at the moment, you need to scale up from 13 kg to, I think, 110 kg ultimately. Okay. But are you still in the, as they call it, the planning phases, the conceptualization phase of proceedings here?
So we have currently come up with a design.
Okay.
We started off, you know, sketching it, and then we've put it, like cutting it out of card, like seeing what it's going to look like, how it's going to work.
Have you got a name in mind?
So our teacher really likes astrology and animals. So we decided to go with a scorpion, which would probably be Scorpius.
I like what you did there. Scorpius. Yeah. So I can almost imagine it being managed by Morpheus from The Matrix. I don't know.
And then we've planned it out, like sketched it, and now we've just started on SolidWorks as well.
Right.
You try and probably cut it out of a different material or get it more precise.
Okay.
So then all of it can be sent off to a company that cuts it out of steel.
Right.
Which would ultimately be our last design. But there's obviously, as you said, a 13 kilogram one that then goes to 110.
I guess that 13 kg one, would it be called a prototype, or have you passed beyond prototype stage by the time you've got that formed?
To be honest, I would still have called it a prototype.
Cool.
I don't know. We might still be, I don't think we would go to competitions with it, because I think you would use a bigger one for that. But I think it would definitely be a far along prototype, I would hope.
Nice. Now, again, the nature of sport, and I'm calling this a sport, and I'm not a professional broadcaster, but I like to believe that I have some significant credibility at what I do when it comes to sports, and I pay attention and I study. And accordingly, I've defined robotics as a sport. So.
Yes.
Happy to have that debate another time, peoples. If you wanted to tweet in, drop me a tweet to @VerumSport and, you know, please engage. However, sport for me, and I'm sure, of course, for the arch competitor that is Haisa. Now, again, coming back to the definition of sport, there is basically a series of rules which is pre-understood and then you compete. That easy.
Yeah.
And I loved Jim just saluting you, because this is fascinating. He emailed me with a bit of a background context here. Made my life dead easy, quite frankly. And I love this one, because I'm literally quoting what he wrote to your dad here. There's basically one clear aim. Immobilize opponent by any means necessary.
Sounds so brutal.
Well, you know, so is boxing. But I think boxing's beautiful, personally.
It's an elegant defeat, you know, elegant, to get rid of it nicely. I think it would be quite interesting to watch. I'd like to see who controls the robots. That's going to be a very fun task.
Do you see yourself in control of Scorpius?
I don't know how I'd be. I feel like I'd give it a go. Do it, I feel like it would work for someone who does like a lot of gaming.
Are you a gamer yourself, Haisa?
Not particularly.
I bet you just simply don't have the time, my word.
I don't know. I just haven't. I did Minecraft actually when I was younger.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a little bit of skill, you know.
And of course, it's not all about Haisa Vickery, who's so humble and is already an elite level superstar, but a whole team here. And this is really important, actually. Seriously, this is deadly important, I believe, because I think you're doing something almost quasi-ambassadorial here. Because let's not forget the setting, that this is all taking place from St. Albans High School for Girls, meaning by definition, it's an all-girls team. And there isn't simply enough girls, or then women, of course, involved in robotics just in the general world, is there, Haisa?
No, I think when I heard about it and how, you know, this is all about getting like women into just like designing and engineering and getting it all right. And it's like, the fact that there isn't enough women doing it, and the fact that like we're making a team and showing that it's exactly the same, it's probably, I don't know, it might inspire some girls' schools or girls in general to just actually, you know, be creative and do it.
Just give it a try. If you try it and you like it, great, keep going. If you try it and you genuinely hate it, well, what have you lost?
Exactly. As long as you just have a bit of a drive or an idea or something, you'll get there. Like me, my friends, as long as you just try and you put a bit of effort into it, you'll get somewhere.
Well, there you go. You are living proof of that. Haisa Vickery, I would like to take a moment to thank you massively for your time tonight. I would like to extend that gratitude to the whole of Family Vickery, who I know are a wonderful support base. And I want to say, for me, I know when I speak to the likes of Daley Thompson, Sally Gunnell, Phil Vickery from the rugby world, that elite athletes are stars, and you, my dear, are a superstar. So thanks for being with me today.
Thank you. Thank you a lot. It's a lovely time. It's lovely to speak about it. It kind of makes me reflect on everything, to be honest. So it's quite nice.
Marvellous. Thank you. Very kind.